Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush Monday with Chuck and Noel. Noel's doing a little jiggy dance. What kind of jig is that?
If I showed you my stanky finger, that's my best move. Oh, God,
Noel, stop it.
It's my one dance move. No, it's when you take the one finger and you kind of wiggle it and you sort of wiggle your head. Okay, it's admittedly a bad name. I'll workshop that, but it's a very respectable dance move and it doesn't require that much movement. I'm all about economy of motion when it comes to dancing.
You're starting a new revolution. It's called the stanky panky. All you do is lay on a couch and move your pinky.
I didn't say anything about the panky. It's the forefinger, y'all. I know you're not looking at this in video, but it's exclusively the forefinger. How you doing, man?
How are you, Noel?
I'm good. It's been a couple of weeks. I think we're both chilly. I immediately remarked that you're bundled and layered, and you can't see my lower half, but I'm wearing a blanket like an old lady, and it's very cozy. My office gets very drafty for some reason. The ductwork doesn't reach it properly.
Yeah, I've got, a separate thermostat for the basement, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to turn on the heat. I sound like my great-grandmother.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn on the heat just for a few hours.
Just for a podcast.
I put on a sweatshirt instead. I totally should.
And your old man self says, "What even is a podcast?" Because he doesn't know.
Podcast.
I stole that from Kristen and Caroline. They always like to shorten things to kiss, like a robot or a podcast. You know?
Oh, they say robot. That's a Hodgman thing.
They say robot. Yeah.
I'm going to try and get Conger on Movie Crush. It just hit me the other day. I was like, "Why haven't I had Kristen on?"
Mm-hmm.
I haven't talked to her in forever.
I haven't either. She's, I do too. She's lovely.
She's the best. Mm-hmm. All right, Noel. So I'm going to mute that. So that makes no noise. How was your Thanksgiving?
I'm good. I just heard a crazy buzz come from your mic when you touched it, but then it went away. So I think we're solid. That was kind of it. It sounded like, yeah, it did. It sounded like an old-timey game show buzzer for getting something wrong. My Thanksgiving was great. I made my first ever turkey. I used the Gordon Ramsay method. It was really, really good.
Which is to curse at it?
Basically, you just got
to tell it to get the fuck out of the kitchen.
Shame it until it's cooked to perfection. No, it was like you brown it and then you put pieces of bacon on the breast, like line it with pieces of bacon, and then you just keep taking it out and baste it, and then you use the bacon as the basis for your gravy. So you cut up the bacon, it's all crispy, and then you stuff the turkey with lemons and onions, and then you take that out and slice that up and put that in your gravy, and then use the drippings and all that. And I'd never made one before, and I ordered a meat thermometer specifically for the occasion. It didn't come in time, so I had to depend on the color of the juices, Chuck. If they run clear, you're in the clear. That's what they say. It was
that's easy to remember.
It was a big hit. I told you my little weird extended family with my ex, who I'm super tight with, and her husband David, who I love, and their daughter Estelle, who is my daughter's sister, and we had that, our little bubbly Thanksgiving. It was great.
That's great. I love it.
My mom was gonna come, but she thought better of it. She was like, "You know what? I'm looking at all these news about traveling, and I'm older, and I think maybe we'll just FaceTime this year." Since me and Casey and them, we live a mile from each other. We see each other every day. With the mom, we were just wanted to be safe, so we were.
Well, I did not see my family either, and that's just the way it is. It looks like vaccines are looking great, though.
I know it.
Hopefully by summer and toward the end of summer, we might be resembling some sort of normal, though there is a light at the end of the goddamn tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, I was talking about that yesterday, about how I know, it won't roll out instantly, but it seems like it's the testing is going well, and I feel confident to take, one of these.
Sure. Are you fucking kidding me? I can't wait.
You know the deal, Chuck. I mean, I'm sure you do. They only removed one step of the process, and it was just the middle one. So it's not
like verification?
No, it was, I forget exactly, but there's three steps to an FDA, vetting process. Yeah. And they removed the middle one to speed it up. But the third one is the most important one. That's where they do the placebo tests and, all of that good stuff. So that's still happening.
I'm not worried
about that. Like we're taking blindly some,
no.
mystery pill.
No, I'm not. I'm not worried about.
I know,
that.
But I know some people do worry about stuff like that. You know.
Well, you know. Yeah, I'm not going to get into all that. All I know is the Moderna vaccine, they said, is 100% effective against serious illness.
Crazy.
And 95 against getting it at all. So
it's amazing.
Stick it all over me.
Stick it in my stick it in my neck. Stick it right in my neck.
Stick it in my that stinky pinky.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Noel. So we're going to start off with this is a couple of little Oscar things. You know, the Oscars are going to be really weird this year. I don't even, I think they're pushing it, or they should just cancel it. And just no one would give a shit. Why have some weird fake Oscar thing and try and pretend like it's been a normal movie year?
Right.
Just cancel it till next year is what I say. But we're going to cover a couple of things. One, this idea came from one of our oldest pals, Yvonne Baudet, over on the Crusher page. And I reposted to get a little more action. And it is very simply, the first one is, who should have won an Oscar by now and has not?
But if there's someone who I think should have, then I'm probably going to think they already have, and I'm going to have a hard time, like, you know, differentiating.
That's when you let that stinky panky do the walk in.
Type
that thing into Google.
Only
see
using,
what you think.
Only using pinkies. All right, let's hear some.
So we're gonna start out with Colin Heffernan. He said, not sure if they count because they won for writing, but Spike Lee and Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, sure. I'll take that caveat. They have won, but Colin means for directing, and yeah. So I will accept that answer.
That's what I'm saying. Tarantino's never won. He's won for writing. For directing. For writing. Okay. Yeah. Okay. He's won something.
Yeah, he won. God, which one did he win for?
Pulp Fiction. I imagine.
Hollywood?
No. Well, it was maybe
he didn't win that.
I don't know.
That wasn't the best script.
I don't know.
We'll find out. Courtney Hoover says Amy Adams. Oh yeah, man. Gosh, she hadn't won an Oscar. That's crazy. Glenn Close. Yeah, she's due. And Toni Collette, I agree. Toni Collette is, I mean, I want to call her underrated, but everyone loves her, so she's probably not. But I feel like she's doesn't come up in the conversations of the great actors, and she should.
Yeah. Tarantino's won twice for best screenplay, definitely won for Pulp Fiction, but he won for Django Unchained, which I don't think stands up in most people's memories as like one of his greats. I quite enjoyed it, but a lot
good
of people,
script.
A lot, yeah.
Pulp Fiction, yeah, of course. I forgot he won for that.
Yeah.
When he was just a youngin'.
He was just a wee lad.
Batty King says, so many to choose. Impossible to think that Tom Cruise still hasn't got an Oscar. And also Laura Linney. I agree with Laura Linney. Cruise, I like the Cruise. I don't know. He did not. I guess he didn't win for Born on the 4th of July. I'm sure he was nominated.
Do they give out Oscars for running?
Yeah. Oh, no. Love that. Throwing a little running shade at the Cruise.
He's good at it, though.
The Gooch, David Gooch says, Michael Keaton should have won at least a supporting actor for Beetlejuice.
Mm.
Yeah, roles like that get overlooked. It's not fair.
It's true. It's true.
We got a lot of James McAvoy's in here.
He's great. He's also like really diverse, or what's the word? He's got a lot of range. I like McAvoy in that respect.
Yeah, Dana Barrett says, James McAvoy, don't have a specific movie role in mind, but I believe he is a once-in-a-generation actor. He's great. And the ladies like him. He's a handsome guy.
LL. Cool.
Ladies love cool James.
Yes, exactly.
He is LL Cool J.
He is.
Jennifer Mudge says, I was surprised to learn that Glenn Close has never won an Oscar. Yeah, I think a lot of people are saying Glenn Close because I think that new movie, Hillbilly Elegy.
Oh, it's getting pananned.
It is getting pananned, and I'm not going to pussy it because of that.
Yeah.
I also don't love watching movies like that.
No, it looks like a bummer.
That's the way I can say it.
It looks like a bummer. It looks like she's in full cranky redneck old lady mode.
And yelling and stuff. And
yeah,
I'm not in the mood for that right now.
No,
if you know what I mean.
No. That's why I never watched Marriage Story, which I know you loved, Chuck. But I just, yeah. I think I maybe mentioned it. Like, obviously, I've been through a divorce, so maybe I don't want to like experience that for fun. But it also just looks, I get that it's fantastic performances, but it just
sure.
It never made me like really want to tune in.
Hey, it's not for everyone.
No.
Sarah Stapleton says Greta Gerwig, Amy Adams, and Saoirse Ronan. Yeah. I mean, wait, Gerwig. She won something for Lady Bird, right?
She won like best director or something, or best something.
She didn't win best director, but I think she won screenplay. Am I misremembering?
I don't know. Let's see.
Greta, are you going to look it up?
I knew this was going to happen. Nominee. No, did not win.
Oh, wow. That's right. I remember being mad now that she didn't win. Saoirse Ronan is great. She'll get hers. A lot of Amy Adams, Tim McGavick, and Maddie Baldwin. both say Amy Adams. She's going to get one. Six-time nominee. That's ridiculous. Give Amy Adams all the Oscars.
All of them.
She's one of the best.
Give her everybody else's Oscars. Strip them away from everyone else and give them to her.
Rip them from Meryl Streep's hands. She can spare a couple.
How many? She has a lot. I guess that's like almost.
I think she's been nominated like a gazillion times, but only won maybe a couple.
Oscar wins. Let's see.
We're not an Oscar encyclopedia, Noel. Don't be.
She won for Sophie's Choice in 1983, the year of my very birth.
Yeah,
and then she won for The Iron Lady in 2012, which I didn't see.
That's on my queue to watch very soon. Actually,
I'm intrigued by this show, The Crown, which I think we've talked about because the new season. It's what's her name, Gillian
Anderson.
Anderson plays the Iron Lady and looks fantastic. And whoever they cast as Diana and Charles, they look spot on too. She also won for Best Supporting Actress in Kramer versus Kramer, which I've also not seen.
Great movie. That's about divorce.
I haven't seen either of these, or all three of these. I haven't seen Iron Lady, Sophie's Choice, or Kramer versus Kramer.
Well, we're going to talk about The Crown later in my Stream This segment, so put a pin in that. Old pal who I need to thank, Daisy Christina Abreu. I can't remember. I'm terrible at that. She sent a very nice gift. She sent me sent our family some masks, some lovely COVID masks. She sent me a Van Halen mask, Noel. And Emily's has bees on it. It's very pretty. And Ruby's has butterflies. And they're great masks. And big thanks to Daisy. That was a very special thing that she did.
Very sweet.
She says Annette Bening.
I like her a lot.
She should have won for American Beauty, I think.
Yeah, let's see.
She was so great in that. I will sell this house today.
Only nominees. She's a four-time nominee for The Kids Are All Right, which I haven't
Bugsy.
Seen.
Oh, Kids Are All Right was great.
Yeah, okay. Being Julia from 2005, which I think, I don't know that one either. American Beauty was nominated, and The Grifters from 91, which I have not seen either.
Stephen Frears, produced by Marty Scorsese.
Oh, Marty.
Another vote from old pal Vanessa Cashman for James McAvoy.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a big film buff. And you know how you and I are kind of not on the same page about The Irishman as our pal Casey Pegram? This guy was totally in the Casey camp about The Irishman, too. He thought it was Scorsese's best film.
Masterpiece.
Just loved it. And I had to kind of like float my whole little meh perspective.
You had to set him straight?
But now that I've heard two real filmy types that I really respect, I think I need to see it again. I think maybe I didn't give it its due or something. I don't know.
I'll see it again. Yeah. But even Casey can be wrong, no.
I know that. I know, but this is a second opinion. So
no, it's obviously subjective. Emma Clark, one of our old friends, has a nice list here. Isabella Huppert, Viggo Mortensen, Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, Stanley Tucci, Claire Denis, Todd Haynes. Yes. Who else? Antonio Banderas, Nina Haas, Andy Serkis. She's got quite a list going here.
Andy Serkis. Would he get it for like, you know, his
best motion capture?
Motion capture work. I mean, I'm only half joking because that really does take some finesse to really bring a humanity to these motion capture performances. Like, you know, it sounds like a joke that he plays King Kong. But if you watch King Kong, there is a gentleness and like a nuance.
He's in there.
He's definitely in there. He's the ghost in the machine.
Great album by The Police. Matthew Hunter says Robert Shaw, nominated but never won. Renaissance man, author, actor, playwright. Lived and breathed the life of entertainment. Yeah, Matthew, you are parking your car in the same garage as me, my friend.
Robert Shaw. Oh.
Jaws, baby.
He was in Jaws. He's the Quint. Yeah, that's right. Of course. Of course.
Yeah, and many other things. He's a legend. Was a legend. And is a legend. You don't stop being a legend when you die.
No.
No, we're going to be legends long after our passing.
I hope so. I look forward to it.
Andy Long says Willem Dafoe and old Eddie Norton. He said Norton in American History X alone is worth a trophy, and Defoe has a number of excellent roles, but The Lighthouse in particular should have netted him a supporting actor nod. Yeah, I was really disappointed that The Lighthouse didn't get any love for those acting performances.
Unreal. I mean,
my Lord, they were great.
He's got some odd noms. He's got like a movie called At Eternity's Gate from 2019 that I haven't even heard of.
At Eternity's Gate.
What the hell is that? In 2019, I've heard of that. Nominee.
Sounds familiar.
He was in that movie Shadow of the Vampire about F.W. Murnau yeah. in the whole like
Nosferatu.
Platoon. I love Platoon. I think that's a great war movie. I know it's a little basic, but it's fabulous. It's great. I just mean it's like people I think revere Apocalypse Now a little more than Platoon, but there's something about Platoon that always stuck with me. And the Florida Project. He got nominated for that very small but special role. Yeah, it's great.
Very special movie. Torin Perret has a little controversial thing here. Because over on the Crushers page where this post originated, Torin got some shit for Will Smith. And Torin says, I stand by it. Enemy of the State, I Am Legend, Pursuit of Happiness, and Ali, Men in Black, Fresh Prince, Independence Day. I would say Ali, perhaps. He was probably nominated for that. But other than that, you know, Will Smith doesn't really do it for me.
I think he should have got a nom for his work on Fresh Prince, honestly. I think they should have made an exception and given out one Oscar that year for excellence in television. Fuck the Emmys. Goodness. That's Oscar caliber performance there.
Matthias Larson, one of our old friends, says, for director David Lynch, for sure. He's too out there, though, for the Academy. Male actor Michael Shannon.
He got nominated for his one normal movie, The Straight Story.
Straight Story, yeah. Which is a great movie.
Yeah, and it's called The Straight Story for a reason. I was talking about that with my friend. He knew exactly what he was doing with that. He's like, I can be David Lynch, but also look at this. He's got a new Netflix series coming out. It's in development whatever. So pumped.
For male actor, he says Michael Shannon. And for female actor, he says... Isabel Adjani, back in her heydays. Fox Matthews says Bill Murray, Eddie Murphy, Jim Carrey, Adam Sandler. Comedic actors always get the snub. Yeah, it's true.
It is true.
I know.
Jim Carrey got nominated for like Man on the Moon, I think, didn't he?
Maybe. And I believe, did Eddie Murphy lose for Showgirls?
Oh, I don't even know what that is. Is that a musical?
You know what? Oh, Showgirls, Noel? You got to see that. That's the Broadway musical that about the...
not the one with...
Not Showgirls, Dreamgirls.
Oh, I was about to say. Okay.
Not Showgirls. Holy cow, different movie.
Wow, what a classic, Showgirls.
People were just screaming at me.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about like a title like that. I was assuming there could absolutely be another one that is just like, you know, better.
So yeah, now I remember he was nominated... And I think everyone thought he was a shoe-in as a bit of a lifetime nod and also a great performance. And I think I remember him looking visibly sort of stunned and not super happy when he did not win.
Yeah. Carrie also, he got nominated for a Golden Globe. He won the Golden Globe and got nominated for a SAG award for Man on the Moon, but he got snubbed by the Oscars that year.
I'm looking who beat Eddie Murphy. Alan Arkin for Little Miss Sunshine. That's right.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to say Alan Arkin didn't deserve his day in the sun. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that may have also been a bit of a lifetime nod. I'm never super happy with that. Jackie Earle Haley that year for Little Children. God, he was great.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. We talked about that the other week.
And Mocky Mock in The Departed.
Oh, he should get an Oscar for the accent alone.
All right, Noel, we're going to move it along.
Let's do it.
And go to the next segment, which is undeserving Oscar, most undeserving Oscar of all time. And I'm going to go ahead right out off the dome here, as you say, as you kids say, and go with the movie Crash for Best Picture.
Oh, yeah, that was the talk of the town, not in a good way.
Yeah.
I just mean like people instantly were like, man, I don't know. Did it take a little while for history to realize that was a giant fuck up?
It seems like the day after everyone was like,
wait, what?
I don't even think it was that good of a movie at all, if I remember correctly, much less the best.
I mean,
that year?
I think it was because it like handled race in an interesting way or like in a confrontational way that resonated at the time or something. I just remember, but it was really ham-fisted, if I'm not mistaken. Like it was really like these kind of broad racial stereotype characters that kind of were all clashing in these different little LA vignette.
It might have been that.
I think
so. I'm looking, Noel, at the other Best Picture nominees that year. Munich, better movie.
Right.
Good Night, Good Luck, better movie.
Yeah.
Capote, better movie. And Brokeback Mountain easily should have won the Oscar.
Right.
For Best Picture.
Right.
That
year. Yeah.
What a sham. I'm angry all over
again. Yeah, that's interesting, man. I didn't even realize it was in that good company. I haven't seen Munich. We've talked about this, and it's surprising.
Munich's good.
I need to check it out.
You'd like it. It's good.
It's like a spy thing, kind of, almost,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's great. Cool. I mean, it's the true story of the Munich Olympics, and it's really good. Mm. Sam Comer says, I'm sorry, I'm drinking tea, everyone.
No, I'm drinking coffee out of a jug.
Triggering people. Mm-hmm. Sam Comer says, there's no way Dances with Wolves was better than Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no way that Crash is deserved more than, and he just put gestures wildly.
Anything. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Let me see. Marios Alexander Rotsides, one of my favorite names in Crushers, says, Eddie Redmayne for Theory of Everything. Not to sound insensitive, but he literally just sat there for half the movie. Yeah. I mean, I guess that is insensitive, but... I see where you're going there for sure.
It's interesting.
Did you see that movie?
I didn't. I mean, I know it's about Stephen Hawking and like, what is there? Was he afflicted with that condition like later in life or at some point? Is there a period where he's not afflicted with that condition and then it happens?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Linnea Barnett says, one of our old friends says, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for screenplay. I know I'll get dragged for this, but wow, that movie was awful. It was aimless and had no plot. I hate that movie.
We've talked about this, and I think we're all on the same page. I would argue that's somewhat missing the point, and I know that's a lazy thing to say a lot of the time, but I don't feel like plot was as much what the point of that movie was as just kind of like taking you through a guided tour of like this Hollywood mystic kind of story. You know, like, yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
I'm with you. One of our old friends, Margarita Saramago, says, I have a very old school axe to grind, but How Green Was My Valley beating Citizen Kane for best movie was just wrong. Yeah, how did Citizen Kane not win best picture? That's ridiculous. So much politics involved, Noel.
Well, that's again, though, Citizen Kane is one of those movies where it's such a like bombshell that it takes a delayed reaction. I don't know that people even saw the genius of it right away. It took seeing its influence on other things to realize what an important film it was. So
yeah.
it probably at the time was a little bit, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it did well and it was like, you know, success, but I have a feeling it was so like new and out there that it might've made some of the people in the Academy kind of scratch their heads a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. Douglas Rondo says, Julia Roberts for Erin Brockovich beating out Ellen Burstyn for Requiem for a Dream. Going out on a limb, I would guess the Academy voters found Aronofsky's film too harrowing to make it through, maybe.
Which one? Requiem?
Yeah. I mean, Julia Roberts is really great as Erin Brockovich, so I can't really take anything away from her. But Ellen Burstyn and Requiem for a Dream, that's one of the best performances I've ever seen.
It's unreal, but you're right. It's just so,
and she's a legend.
It's so bleak. It's just so fucking bleak.
It is so bleak.
But you're right. No, it's fabulous. It's one of those movies, though, that you don't really have to see more than once because it hits you so hard and it just like, it almost is like, what's the word? It gives you like PTSD. It's like, I don't need, get it away, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's tough.
Oh, God. Especially if you have an older parent or, you know, someone who's...
Or suffer from addiction
of any kind. There's so many triggers in that movie, but it's very well done.
Maja Susan Melby says, Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook. She did a great job, but that was a supporting role, not a lead. It bothers me so much. Jessica Chastain should have won that year. Was that for Zero Dark Thirty?
Because
she was so good in that.
That was. And that's
but Jennifer Lawrence
was
great.
She's quirky. It's more like I think there's something to be said of like taking a serious subject matter and making it kind of accessible and making it like that movie is basically a rom-com about mental health. And it manages to kind of be all of those things, right? Where it's like heavy, but also light. And that's kind of, I think it takes some real skill to pull that off. And maybe that was, but again, I also don't have much faith in the Academy or like a lot of these choices. I think a lot of these awards are all political and all about these campaigns and not really about the merit of like how good.
It's rigged. It's a fraud.
Oh God, stop.
Just like the USFL was a rigged fraud and the Emmys were a rigged fraud. And now the election is a rigged fraud. No, the man can never lose anything.
Not to mention bird rigged. Of the year competition. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Unless it's what?
Bird of the year competition in New Zealand.
Jenny Fenton says, Boyhood, the movie is so long and exceedingly boring. The acting is terrible. The only thing exceptional about it is it was filmed over 12 years. Doesn't make it a good movie.
You liked it.
I loved it.
Yeah. I didn't see it. I think I was maybe a little turned off by the gimmick, and I was worried that there was going to be too much of that, but that's no reason not to see it. I definitely want to.
This is funny. Our old friend, Stellan Carlson, says Adele Dazeem for Let It Go.
Love it.
Idina Menzel should have won that one.
Yeah. Oh, the wickedly talented Adele Dazeem. He just leans into it so much. He just makes a real meal out of it. You know, it's like,
yeah, man, he was so confident. I know. I mean, I love it.
It's so great. Like, did he just conjure that from his mind?
No, it's so not close.
Not even, I mean, I want to know the story behind that moment. I want to see a documentary about all the things that just led to that moment.
Yeah, like an 8-minute documentary.
An 8-minute doc. That's all we need. Yeah.
Jennifer Mudge says Crash as well. Andy Long says Crash, but Shakespeare in Love is also up there. Yeah, Shakespeare in Love was okay. That wasn't a best picture. Come on.
That's right. That was another one. I think it was another one that sort of was like, oh, this is an interesting form where it's sort of like revisionist history, kind of like, you know, using a classic story and adding new things to it or whatever. Because that wasn't like true, right? It was sort of just like kind of a frame story where they used Shakespeare and then they added in all this other stuff. None of that really happened, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Our old pal, Mike Snelling Jr. says DiCaprio in The Revenant. He was so much better in so many other movies. And the whole when will he win media hype before it was just a joke. And he said that was probably his worst role in a decade. And he had a lot of people that agreed with that sentiment. I like The Revenant. It's a movie I never wanted to see again, though.
Yeah, because it's wholly unpleasant. But it's like, you know, they really made DiCaprio work for it. I completely agree with what everyone's saying here, that it wasn't his best performance. It wasn't even his most interesting or complex. But he, like, had to sleep in a bear carcass and, like, you know, do all this, like, survivor-type shit.
It's true. I mean, it was real-deal stuff. So maybe you consider that. Paul Stanfield says, No Country for Old Men. Just didn't get it.
Oh, God, really? That's how do you not get that? I'm sorry. No. That sounds dismissive. It's just such a great movie, in my opinion. One of the all-time greats, I think.
No, I loved it. But, you know, not for everyone.
Okay, fair.
And then Mike Doyle. Let's finish up here with Mike Doyle. Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody just could not make myself care. And that was the year with Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, and Willem Dafoe, who was most deserving. Oh, wait. I have to take issue with one more here, Noel.
Yeah, please.
Richard Stevens says, There Will Be Blood. Looks good. That's about it.
Oh. What? And
man. Ooh, watch a hoo hoo. Hey. All right. So I think we're going to finish up with a little stream in this action, right, my friend?
Pew, pew, pew. Do we still use that sound cue? Or can we just replace it with me going pew, pew, pew?
I think pew, pew is great.
Pew, pew is classic. When do you think that became the onomatopoeia for ray guns?
Pew, pew. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it took over nerd culture and then was probably not cool to do, then cool to do. I don't know. Yeah. All that stuff confuses me, Noel.
It's fair.
So we're streaming this, and earlier I promised, I know you got something brewing too, but I promised a little talk of The Crown. I finished watching the most recent season of The Crown, in which you mentioned Diana and Charles, mm-hmm. and, it has now been brought into an era that I remember
right.
this stuff, like the Falkland Islands Wars and when that guy broke into Buckingham Palace and, went into the bedroom of the Queen. Like I remember all that when I was a little kid. So it's been great. I love that show. It's one of my favorite shows. I've also, after that finished, we watched, because we're kind of royals obsessed anyway. Mm. Not obsessed, but we're into it. So we watched a documentary called Diana in Her Own Words. It was really good. And then finished that. And then we just started a show that advertised with us for a little while called The Great on Hulu. It's the writer of, what's the fucking movie that we like so much from the Greek film? The Favorite.
Oh, it is. Yorgos Lanthimos?
So it's Tony McNamara, the writer of The Favorite. And he is the showrunner on the show The Great with Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult, where it is a look at Catherine the Great's rise, but it is not what you expect. It's very funny. And it's sort of like, it has the same tone as like Death for Stalin.
Got it.
So like there's history to it, but it's a dark, dark comedy, satirical comedy. And it's just fucking great, man. It's a lot of fun. It's on Hulu. It's a Hulu original. Highly, highly recommend The Great. It's Elle Fanning is fantastic. And Peter or Nicholas Hoult as Peter is amazing.
I'm excited. I heard a little bit about it and knew there was a connection to The Favorite, but did not realize it was the writer that they were separate. Usually I think Yorgos awesome. Writes his own movies a lot.
What have you been watching?
Oh my gosh, dude. I got two. One is a show that I've been hearing a lot of buzz about for a while. Really highly reviewed, but it was only available in the UK until now. It's called The Gangs of London. And it is...
I think I've heard of that.
Fucking incredible.
Yeah, you know, Connell told me about that. Our boss told me about that.
It's just great. It's like, you know, I hate to use the word, but gritty. It's got, you know, so many amazing characters, many of which who are detestable, but you still find yourself rooting for them. It is no holds bar when it comes to like the action and the levels of violence. It's I found myself making that cringe face during one particularly intense, not torture-y, just like really intense, like action, like fight scenes, but it feels really organic. And one actor who's in it, whose name is escaping me, he played Kwame in I May Destroy You or I Will Destroy You, that HBO series that I've
written
about. But he's totally different, practically unrecognizable in this one. He plays the kind of best friend of the heir to this, organized crime family in London, the Wallace family. And it's just really fantastic. And I couldn't recommend it more highly.
I got to see that because, I always trust your opinion. And, you know, Connell has really great taste. Mm-hmm. Our boss has great taste in film and TV. And he said he recommended it a little while ago and it fell off my radar. So Gangs of London, huh?
Yeah.
Emily will not like it.
Well, yeah. It's like I said, it's gory. It's like very, there's some moments where some pretty horrible things happen in terms of like, you know, the big flex, like, where you make an example out of somebody, stuff like
that.
You gotta do that every now and then, but some of these are pretty brutal. But it's not like, what's the word? It's not like just for the sake of doing it. It really has impact and everyone in the show is great. On something completely different, that's on Amazon. I think the first four episodes you can stream for free on Amazon. And then I think it's on AMC Plus, which is like a little subscription edition, but you can definitely watch the first four. And then, like I said, for something completely different, the reboot of the classic beloved 90s animation Animaniacs.
Rebooted that?
They rebooted it. It's on Hulu. It's so self-aware that it's a reboot. It actually writes that in as a joke. Like they apparently the Warner Brothers Yakko, Wacko, and Dot like died and they were reanimated for this one. But it has all these great, like, you know, contemporary references and also references to the 90s and the fact that it's sort of like they're catching up to the times. And I didn't know what to think of it, but it's just great. I think it's every bit as good as the original. And if you have any kind of nostalgia for that, you will love this, I promise.
Oh, cool. Well, I have none for it because I was too old, but it sounds like a certain age demographic. It's probably going to blow up.
Yep, I think so.
I saw Saved by the Bell was coming back too. They're rebooting that, which is a show. Emily and I were talking about the reboot, and she was like, "You didn't watch it?" And I said, "Well, not really, but a little bit. Like, I knew who the characters were, but I didn't like sit around and watch Saved by the Bell. But I had to have watched some of it because I know Screech and Zach and."
Slater,
AC Slater. Mm-hmm. Like, I know who those people are, so I had to have watched it at some point.
Mario Lopez, like, looks the same, dude. It's weird. Yeah. I mean, he must
I saw him, in you know, the Grove in LA. Did you ever go
there? Sure, sure. They have a really good, like, little, like Mexican restaurant, like farmer's market-y kind of thing there outside.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in fact, the old school farmer's market that was previously there before the Grove was attached is still got the most amazing outdoor bar in LA, mm-hmm. but very old school. But the Grove is now this new big outdoor shopping mall. And I used to go see movies there a lot because it's a great movie theater that was not too far from me. And I came out of a movie one day. Like you always come out of movies in the matinee in LA to like the brightest sunshine ever. And who was there shooting a thing right in front of me was fucking Mario Lopez. Uh-huh. And yeah,
he's watched it for a little bit. He's with the company. He's an iHeart man.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's either nice. Like, yes, he's probably a radio guy, mm-hmm, right?
I think so. He definitely was like at the podcast awards. He was one of the presenters.
Oh, okay. I think I remember that. Mm-hmm. You know, hats off to the guy. He's made a nice long career for himself.
Absolutely.
Good spokesman.
And ageless, as it turns out.
Yeah, he looks exactly the same. All right, dude. Well, that's it for me. I hear the vacuum cleaner going upstairs, so I think that's my cue.
That's a good cue.
Thanks for everyone for listening. Check out those Stream This Wrecks, and we will see you next week.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.